If you ask a Christian their favorite Bible verse, there may be many Bible verses that are a favorite that center around the message of the gospel. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Or Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. For other believers, there's been some verse in their life that has struck a chord. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary, or walk and not faint. When we think of my life verse, it is 2 Corinthians 5:15. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Many of us believers have different verses that God has spoken to us through his Spirit at different times in our life. However, you ask an antagonistic unbeliever what their favorite Bible verse is, and it is probably Matthew 7:1. Do not judge. Unfortunately, that passage doesn't mean exactly what they think it means. So, in the Sermon on the Mount, as we continue through, let's jump in. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1 and following this morning. So we're continuing our study in the Sermon on the Mount. This is, again, kind of the unbeliever's mantra, do not judge. But what is Jesus truly saying and meaning behind this verse? Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1. Do not judge so that you won't be judged. For you will be judged by the same standard with which you judge others. And you will be measured by the same measure you use. Why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but don't notice the beam of wood in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the splinter out of your eye and look, there's a beam of wood in your own eye. Hypocrite. First take the beam of wood out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. Don't give what is holy to dogs, or toss your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them under their feet, turn and tear you to pieces. With that, let's pray. God, I ask that you would speak today. And Lord, I pray that you would just give us clarity and that you would speak with conviction and convincing of your truth today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give all of us just this sense of clarity in you and in your word today. In your name I pray. Amen. The mantra of many who feel like they don't want to hear the spiritual, moral, biblical truth of believers is the Bible says, do not judge. And I think Jesus is obviously laying out that challenge for us, do not judge, or you will be judged by the same measure that you judge others. They want to just take those first three words, do not judge, and make this blanket prohibition of saying that we should not judge anyone else. Now, Jesus tells his disciples that they are to become like him, that the disciple is to become like his teacher. And as we look at the teacher, as we look at Jesus, the example, in the Sermon on the Mount, and specifically in the Gospel of Matthew, we find that Jesus does not have any issue with sharing moral, spiritual, biblical truth, even if it comes across with a sense of judging. I mean, think about it, just even what we have covered in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse number 2, Jesus has said, if you want to give and you want to sound off trumpets and everyone notice what a great giver you are, then you are a hypocrite. You're just doing that to please men. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse number 5, Jesus says, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. He calls them hypocrites. That sounds judgmental in our world today. In Matthew 6, 15, Jesus says that when we fast, we're not to be like the hypocrites. They disfigure their faces. They want to look all like, man, I'm really suffering a lot as I am fasting here. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse number 6 that we just read, Jesus says, do not give what is holy to dogs and do not cast your pearls before pigs. He's not talking about literal animals here. Jesus is talking about people. Now, you go call someone a dog or a pig, then people might think that you're being judgmental. Down in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 15, he says that those who are false prophets or teachers are like wolves, ravaging wolves. Now, so he's called people dogs and pigs and wolves. In Matthew 7, 16, he tells us that we are to judge people by their fruit. In Matthew 7, 21, Jesus makes another judgmental statement when he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. You mean if I just don't believe that Jesus is alive and I'm an American, I'm going to go to heaven? That's exactly what he's saying. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 7, 26, again, we're continuing in the Sermon on the Mount. Right there at the end, Jesus says, for those who hear my word and don't do them, they are like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. Now, Jesus has called people hypocrites. He actually uses the word hypocrite in this passage that we just read. He calls them dogs. He calls them pigs. He calls them wolves. He tells us that we are to inspect each other's fruit. He says not everyone is going to heaven. And someone who hears his word and doesn't do it is like a fool. Matthew chapter 15 in verse number 7. Jesus says, you hypocrites, you fulfill the prophecy that Isaiah has already said. These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But maybe the most drastic thing that Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, and I just want to read it because I don't want you to think that I'm just quoting this, is Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 15. Matthew 23, 15. If we were going to ever think that Jesus was going to make a judgmental statement, Matthew 23, 15 would be that statement. He says this, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to make one convert. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a child of hell as you are. Now, I would imagine you're probably not going to influence friends and people by telling people that you're making others a bigger child of hell than you are. So what is Jesus talking about when it comes to do not judge? Here, Jesus, I think, is clearly saying that there are biblical, moral, spiritual judgments that we have to make in our life, that we have to be discerning. I think what Jesus is combating here is that Jesus is confronting the religious leaders of this time, and he is confronting critical condescension. Remember, the key verse of the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 20. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the scribes and Pharisees were doing all that they could to look righteous on the outside, to be righteous and to be religious. But inside, Jesus would describe them in Matthew 23 as well, as whitewashed tombs full of dead man's bones and every kind of immorality and perversity. that they looked good on the outside, but inside they were dead. They were spiritually dead. But what was happening in this day is that the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees would be exceeded when they put other people down. Some people want to gain their standing in life by using other people to put them down so that they feel higher, they feel greater. So that if I can push other people down, then I will feel superior. And I think Jesus is coming to us and saying, I don't want your life filled with critical condescension upon others, but I do want you to have biblical, moral, and spiritual discernment and judgment. That's why you've got to finish the whole sentence. Do not judge, or you're going to be judged, and with the same measure that you use. It does not mean that we cannot make critical, discerning evaluations of people and circumstances and situations around us. Think about the world in which we live today. When we say that man is created in the image of God, and because man is created in the image of God, we believe in the sanctity of life from the womb until natural death. Because of how God created us and who we are in him. The world says, well, if you believe that, then you're judgmental. No, we're biblical. When we say today that God created Genesis 1, 26 and 27, he created male and female. That females have two X chromosomes and men have an X and a Y chromosome, and that men can't become women and women can't become men. There are many in our world today that will say, oh, you just don't understand. You're just being judgmental. You're not in those shoes. And I would say, listen, this is the foundation of our biblical and moral judgment is based upon scripture. And we're not coming again in a condescending way, but we are coming with conviction that God's word is true. When we say that marriage is between a man and a woman, then we understand and recognize that this is based on biblical and moral truth. And this, when we believe in the exclusivity of Jesus Christ alone, that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He did not say, I am a way. He did not say, I am a good way. He did not even say, I am the best way. He said, I am the way. And when the world looks at that, and we're going to look at this in just a few weeks, when Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13 and following, where Jesus gives a picture of gates, a broad one and a narrow one, what we find is the world can turn that off and say, that is being judgmental. And that is not what Jesus is talking about clearly in this passage. Jesus is coming at us and saying that we are not to be people with critical condescension upon others. But as Paul would remind us, we are to speak the truth and speak it in love. So we need to be careful, not just what we say, but why we say it and how we say it, so that we don't come across critical and condescending to the world that is around us. How do we balance this out where we love God first and we love our neighbor as ourselves? Well, what we find in Jesus' life and ministry is that he never watered down the truth to try to be socially accepted. And that's where we are. We speak the truth. We speak it in love because we have staked our life upon the truth of God's word and on the person of Jesus Christ. So in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus comes then and he says that you are not to judge lest you be judged. And I want us to kind of think of that in three different lights today as we look at these first six verses of Matthew chapter 7. First off, I think I want us to look at the confrontation of harsh judgment. The confrontation of harsh judgment. Jesus says, do not judge or you're going to be judged, and the same measure that you use, I am going to use toward you, is the picture. Now, I think Jesus gives us three warnings. The first warning, and let me just give you all three of them. The first warning is against a critical spirit. The second is for us to recognize that we have a watching judge, that there is a judge who is watching. And the third is there is an exact standard. Now, when we think about that, now let's kind of dig this out just a little bit. When Jesus says, do not judge, we understand and recognize that there are some people who just have a critical spirit, that anytime anything happens, they just have something critical and negative to say. Some people, you can tell that they have a critical spirit because every time their lips move, their pen writes, or their fingers brush across their keyboard or their phone, something negative comes out. Some people refuse to see the good in others, that they can hit 99% right and they will harp on the 1%. That there are some people that are just critical out there. And I think that Jesus in particular is probably pointing out the scribes, Pharisees at this time, who always saw themselves superior than everyone else, that we're kind of better than you and we look down upon you. And Jesus is really confronting, hey, don't come across like this with this judgmental, critical, life-killing kind of heart and life. He says, do not judge. And then he says, or you will be judged. Now, when he says you will be judged, he implies something here, that there is a watching judge. And this judge is not one of our peers. Do not judge, or you will be judged. He is talking about the judge, the ultimate judge, that one day all of us will stand before. Now, there are two key passages when we think about judging others that I think that we need to have riveted in our heart and in our mind. One of them we have looked at already. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Sometimes, obviously, instead of being hypercritical all the time, we need to be people who show mercy, even when we have to speak the truth, and even when we have to say things that are hard, and even if we have to take a hard stand, we do this not with a condescending spirit, but with a heart of mercy and love, and we speak the truth in love. When we vilify everyone in the world out there, what we're saying is we would rather you be our enemy than our mission field. So what we find is that there needs to be this level of mercy. Blessed are the merciful. And then over in James chapter 2 in verse number 13, he says this, for judgment without mercy will be shown to those who have no mercy. Judgment without mercy is going to be shown to those who have no mercy. Now, on one side, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The other side, he says, and if you don't have mercy, then you're not going to get any when it comes to the judgment. Now, I don't think that the Lord means for us as believers that he's going to kick us out of heaven. But I do think that how we judge others, the Lord might really come back and say, oh, really? You thought that was okay to say? You thought that kind of attitude was okay to live with? And the ultimate and supreme judge will come back and look on us. We can have a critical spirit. We can often read people's motives into things that wasn't their motive at all. And when we start to read motives into people and how they act and what they said, and they're just kind of cruising along, and we've read some negative motive into someone's life. I read the story. It happened over 100 years ago, but I found it very interesting and very relatable. Over 100 years ago, on one of the ocean liners that was going to travel from the United States over to Europe, they had cabins that just had berths in them, and they would often just put two strangers in the same cabin together on bunks on either side. There was a man from New York, and he told this story on himself. His name was Bishop Potter. And Bishop Potter, as he was getting ready and had his semi-private cabin, he went in and he met the person who was sharing the same room as he was. And he decided after a while, after he had met him and the roommate had left, he decided he was going to do something. He was going to go to the front desk and take all the things that he had valuable, and he was going to ask them to be locked up in the vault of the ship. And so he gathers up his valuables and he takes them to the man at the front desk and says, "Hey, I don't really trust this man in the other berth. And so because of that, I would like you to lock up all of my valuables." And the clerk responded by taking responsibility of the items and said, "Oh, it's all right, Bishop. I'll be glad to take care of them for you. The other man has already come and left all of his valuables for the same reason." So sometimes we read things into people and we think, ah, we can't trust them and they might just be reading back. Well, can I really trust you? But notice what Jesus also says here. Because it's very important for us to understand verse number 2, that as we come and we recognize, "For you will be judged by the same standard with which you judge others, and you will be measured by the same exact measure that you use." Now, again, Jesus is not prohibiting judgment here. What he is saying is how you judge other people is going to come back, and the same standard to which you judge them, you're going to be judged. It's kind of that statement that sometimes we use, "Do as I say, not as I do." And Jesus is saying, that doesn't work with me. Because you're going to be judged to the same exact standard in which you hold other people. Jesus tells a story in Matthew chapter 18. And in Matthew chapter 18, he tells the story about a guy who owes this exorbitant amount of money. Hundreds of denarii to thousands of talents to the master, and he can't pay it back. So the guy threatens to lock him up, lock his family up. But ultimately, when he realizes the man can't pay, forgives him. Someone has estimated that that was 200,000 years of labor with the 10,000 talents. Then he goes out and finds a guy who owes him 100 days' wages, 100 denarii. And he takes that man and he locks him up and throws him in prison and his family. And the master finds out about how he's treated someone else and then goes to have him locked up. Oh yeah, I'll receive grace. I'll receive mercy. The challenge is, will I extend it? I'll receive forgiveness. I'll receive God's love. I'll receive grace, mercy, blessing. Will I extend that to others? And Jesus is saying here that the same standard in which you use, that's going to come back on you. So Jesus is going to confront harsh judgment. Second thing that we see is the concern of hypocritical judgment. Because notice now Jesus is going to kind of swing just a little bit and saying, look, man, the way you judge, you're going to be judged. And now he's going to come across with this hypocritical judgment, and he's going to use an illustration of a guy who has a log or a beam in his eye versus someone who has a splinter in his. Now notice how Jesus puts this in beginning in verse number 3. He says, "Why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but don't notice the beam of wood in your own eye?" I find this interesting because the word "look" there is in the present tense. And it's like, it's why do you continually, you just can't get over this splinter in that other person's eye. You're just, I mean, you are fixated on this. Why are you so fixated on their splinter in their eye, but you don't notice that there's a beam in your own eye? Why do you look at that, but you don't notice the beam in your own eye. Well, my friends, that is the plague of self-righteousness right there. The plague of self-righteousness. That I think I'm okay, but I can see all of your faults. And as we think about this, it is that we see the faults in others, but we overlook our own faults. That kind of is the picture here. That we see others' faults, we see the fault in other people, but we overlook our own personal faults. He is so fixated on the splinter in this other guy's eye here that he doesn't see the or understand there's a beam in his. And Jesus is using hyperbolic language here. I mean, this is exaggerated language, that he would have a house beam in his eye, that he would have this huge log in his eye, and this guy would have a small splinter in his. And you would understand and recognize that even if you got close enough to try to take a splinter out of someone's eye, that you would knock them with the beam that would be in your own eye. And yet, this is the way that we often see the world in which we live. It's the plague of self-righteousness, that we think we're okay. A pastor named Ray Pritchard said this way: we overlook our faults and we see others. We say, "You are a liar. I merely stretch the truth. You cheat. I just bend the rules. You lose your temper. I have righteous anger. You are a jerk. I'm just having a bad day. You gossip. I just share prayer requests. You cuss and swear. I just blow off a little steam. You're pushy. I'm just goal-oriented. You're greedy. I just have to take care of business." And maybe my favorite one: "You stink. I merely have an earthy aroma." That's the way we often act, and we often justify ourselves. That we see the best in us while we pick out the worst in others. And this guy is so fixated. But Jesus then gives us the prescription for the spiritual evaluation. And the prescription is very simple. First, take the beam out of your eye, and then help take the splinter out of his eye. So we find that it is laid out very clearly for us. Notice in verse number 4, how can you say to the brother, "Let me take the splinter out of your eye," and look, there's a beam of wood. Verse number 5, you are a hypocrite. And then he gives him the prescription. Notice in verse number 5, the prescription for spiritual evaluation. He says, take the beam of wood out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. Remove your beam. This is in the imperative here. This is a command. The first thing that you need to do is take the beam out of your eye. It is David as he comes to the end of Psalm 139, and he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the paths everlasting." It is, "Search me, God, try me. Lord, deal with the beam in me." God, do a work here first. Remove your beam. I want to tell you, our challenge today, and sometimes what the world sees today, is that they don't see the love that comes, but they often see the beam that sticks out. Remove your beam, and then you remove their splinter. You remove their splinter. And that's what Galatians chapter 6 in verse number 1 says. Brothers and sisters, if there's any that have been overtaken by sin, by faults, you who are spiritual, restore one another with a spirit of gentleness. The Lord here calls us to help take splinters out of each other's eyes. That as iron sharpens iron, if we see a brother, hear a sister, and they say something wrong, or they're acting out of sorts and they're not acting in a Christ-like behavior, we're to go to them. Say, hey, man, think about your witness here. Man, I love you. I don't want you to do this. Man, that you're hurting your own testimony. You tell them and you do this out of love. So yes, the Lord does call us to do this. But the first thing that we have to do is look back. So that as we point at others, we understand and recognize we have three fingers pointed back to ourselves. And we remove our beam. And then we remove their splinter. And can I tell you, sometimes it's very delicate. Sometimes it's very challenging. The picture is removing a splinter takes precision and takes some time, and takes gentleness. And that's how we're to act. But then Jesus is not done talking about this aspect of judgment yet, because notice in verse number 6, he gives us the consideration of helpful judgment in verse number 6 when he says this: don't give what is holy to dogs, or toss your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them under their feet, turn and tear you to pieces. As believers, we're called to live a spiritual life, and we don't want to come across critical and condescending. But there are true enemies of the gospel who hate the message of Jesus. And as you seek to share with them, they don't want to have anything to do with it. And matter of fact, they may come back and viciously attack you. What Jesus does here is he shows us two things. First off, I think he shows us the preciousness of the gospel. He shows us the preciousness of the gospel because he says, don't give what is holy to dogs, and don't cast your pearls before pigs. He's showing that the message of the gospel, the message of God's word, is holy, and it's like a pearl. Jesus would give the parable in Matthew 13 of this parable of great price, that you would go and sell everything that you have just so you could attain this one pearl, this gospel nugget, this gospel pearl that would change not only all of life, but all of eternity. And you'd be willing to lay down everything in order to find it. He shows us the preciousness of the gospel. But then he tells us, don't give this precious gospel to dogs, what's holy to dogs. And don't give what is pearls and cast them before pigs. He shows us about the enemies, gospel enemies. And the word of gospel enemies is that there comes a time and a place, and I don't know where it is, but there comes a time and a place where when someone has resisted the gospel and even come back to attack you, that as Jesus would give the picture to his disciples, that you just sometimes have to shake the dust off of your feet and leave them go. Let them go. Don't share what is precious to them. They are rooted enemies. I don't know where that mark is. I don't know where that place is. But there comes a time and a place where the Lord says, look, you have spent your time and you have spent your energy and you have spent your effort. And now it is time to move on. They are like dogs trying to understand something that is holy. They're like pearls and you're casting them before pigs. And when they realize that's not something that they can eat, then they're going to trample it and they're going to seek to tear you apart. So Jesus after saying, do not judge, comes back and says, there are times you have to make a judgment call. And that judgment call is, there comes a time and a place when you say, I'm moving on, and I'm going to take this holy, precious pearl of a gospel, and I'm going to move on and let the dogs be dogs and let the pigs be pigs. Hebrews 9:27 tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. All of us are going to face a judgment before the Lord. The reality is that there will some that will stand before a judgment because they have taken what is holy and what is a precious pearl and they have trampled it, tore it apart, cared less about it. And they will stand before the judge recognizing that because they have never trusted Jesus alone as their Savior, that they have never turned and repented of their sin, that they have never put their faith in an empty tomb and a living Savior, that they will be cast away from the Lord forever and ever. That's the judgment of the lost at the great white throne judgment. But there is also coming a judgment for believers. And that judgment is a judgment based on our works. And Jesus says, remember, in the same way you judge others, I'm going to judge you. There's a challenge for us. Don't come across with critical condescension. Stand, live with grace, speak the truth in love. With that, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth in it. And God, I ask that you would speak and move. And Lord, maybe even today you're laying someone on our heart that needs the message that is holy and precious like a pearl. God, I pray that you would give us opportunity this coming week to share the message of Jesus. Lord, for some of us, you have spoken to us about our judgmental attitude, how we can be hypercritical and hypocritical. Lord, help us to be blessed for showing mercy so that we can receive it. Not that we compromise the truth, but we show mercy and grace and speak the truth in love. Thank you for our time. Thank you for the truth of your word. Now, O Holy Spirit, drive it home in our hearts. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.